Good evening and welcome to the chat here on News Talk 94.1. My name is Michael Detweiler. I am your host, and my guest today is a longtime friend, Cindy Schumann. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you, Michael, for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm so glad to have you on the show today. So let's start at the beginning. Tell us where Miss Marie had Cindy and where you grew up and went to elementary school. I always love finding out these stories.
Wow. Of course, you're talking 100 years ago.
That's funny.
I was born in Beloit, Wisconsin.
Okay. Wow.
And I have, at now at this age, of course, I have a Norwegian mother and a Dutch father.
How about that?
And a German last name, which doesn't make me German.
That's great.
And that's important because we label people so quickly.
Oh, sure, because of their last name. Mine is Detweiler. It's German.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I was born and went to a parochial school.
Okay.
From much of my grade school, and then middle school, went to a public school. Beloit is just a, you know, working town.
Sure.
I attended college, and we did a lot of traveling, my family.
Did you? Interesting.
Yes. And so many, many summers were spent in Arizona.
Okay.
I was fascinated with the Indians.
Yes.
Hopi Indians.
Neat area. The weather in Arizona is so much different than up in Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My brother and I were pretty mischievous and had fun.
Sure.
But that interest was sparked.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't realize how passionate I would grow to be in 1968. When I graduated from high school, we went to Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time I experienced culture shock.
Interesting.
And saw the poverty there.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even begin to relate.
We can't. I totally agree.
Our poverty is wealthy compared to that.
Mm-hmm. I have so many friends who go on mission trips and they come back shocked.
Yeah.
They come back feeling guilty because of, you know, they think we have it rough here, and they find out that it doesn't even compare to
doesn't
other places.
Compare.
Yeah.
And so because we were doing some traveling, you know, I became culturally aware and interested.
Sure.
So I started out majoring in cultural anthropology. In my field term, I lived with the Amish.
Interesting.
And living
in what part of the country was that in?
In Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin,
in
okay.
Evansville.
Okay, sure.
Over 20 weeks, I lived with three different families.
Interesting.
And
that opened your eyes to some things, didn't it?
My gosh. It changed my life.
Did it?
Because in the Amish community, you are unaware. I mean, you're aware of who has more wealth and who has less wealth. But among the community, they never allow that to be a visual. They never allow somebody who needs food or needs a barn to go without. So social justice to them is equal access.
Okay. Interesting.
So I grew up in my 20s, from my 20s on, believing social justice to be equal access, something we don't provide. But in our culture, it is often referred to as, in social justice, unequal legal justice, which definitely does exist, but it isn't spilled over into all the other areas of equal access that people need. But then we also don't incentivize poverty to get out of poverty.
Sure. It's a cycle, so to speak, in terms of being difficult to get out of it.
Yes. But being with the Amish for 20 weeks profoundly just changed my worldview and my self-awareness and how to give people what they need.
Interesting.
Not what I think they need.
Sure.
What they need.
Sure.
And so I will admit, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s.
Sure.
Raising children.
Living life.
Living
I get
life.
It. I get it.
Caving to the culture.
Sure. Sure.
Trying to advance my career,
sure.
which wasn't in the field of my passion. I had, you know, success and good jobs, but.
Did that just go on the back burner then?
It did.
About what you experienced
it
living
did.
With the Amish? Wow.
Yes. Well, my mother got ill. I've been here 11 years now.
Wow.
And had heart bypass, and mm-hmm. she was allergic to the medication she had to take after heart surgery.
Wow.
So I came here to help her recover. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, get better, Mom. I'm going back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things I saw and experienced in Cookeville is the lack of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
I experienced it while I was here, I'd go to the courthouse and see what kind of court cases there were.
Sure.
Went to the chamber, went to the city hall, and all the faces on the wall are white.
Sure.
Now, this is a majority by natural consequence.
Sure.
Majority Caucasian. There's
sure.
there's no fault in that. So we continued trying to get my mom better, and I kept saying, I'm going back. There's nothing here. Not mm-hmm. not good shopping, not good restaurants.
And you were living in Chicago?
In Chicago,
yes. At that time, yes, because I remember we had met, and of course I knew your mom, and so I had remembered Chicago in my brain.
I lived in Wisconsin the first 30 years of my life, and the second 30 I lived in Chicago, and the last 30 I'm going to live here.
Living in Tennessee, that's right. So we're down to about a minute and a half in this particular segment. We're talking with Cindy Schumann. She's with Impact Leadership here in Cookeville, and we will actually get to Impact in a little bit. But we were talking about life, early life, and her growing up in Wisconsin, and then living in Chicago, and then having to come to Cookeville to help out her mom, who had had a health issue. So, how's your mom doing?
She's 88.
She is.
She's losing a little mobility.
Is she?
She still drives, and she's
sure.
still spry, and she's still very kind of an activist.
Yes, she
yeah,
is.
She is.
Is she writing any letters to the editor of the Herald Citizen?
Oh, God, I hope not.
My favorite Marie Brown story is that she walks in when I was working for Congressman Black. She walks into the office and she introduces herself. And I said, I know you. And we'll tease that for the next segment because we're going to go to a break. So join us in the next segment and I'll tell the rest of the Marie Brown story. You're listening to The Chat here on News Talk 94.1. Welcome back to The Chat here on News Talk 94.1. I'm your host, Michael Detweiler. My guest today, Cindy Schumann with Impact Leadership here in Cookeville. As we went to the break, I was telling a short story about meeting Cindy's mom, Marie Brown, and she had walked into our office when I worked for Congressman Black, and she introduced herself, and I said, I know you, and she just has this look on her face like, you do, is what she says. And so I said, yes. I said, I've read your letters to the editor. And she says, well, what do you think of them? You know how your mom is.
Yes.
And so I said, I love them. I said, I'm glad that you take the time to sit down, to gather your thoughts and write them. I said, hey, we may not agree on every subject or every issue, but that doesn't matter. I said, you care enough to write the letters to the editor. And she says to me in her style, she says, well, we're going to get along great. That was her, her short sentence. And so she would call and Michael, it's Marie Brown. How are you? And I'm like, I'm great. And so we, you know, over those eight years,
yeah.
you know, I talked to her, I mean, at least once a week.
Yes, and no doubt.
And she would give me her opinion on an issue, want to know where the congressman stood on it. I would give her what I knew. Now, there were times I did not know, and I'd need to talk to our D.C. office and kind of get a clue in. I'd call her back, and she'd go, I appreciate you calling me back. So we had this great relationship. So then when you walked in with her one day, and it was obvious that this is mom and daughter here, so I just – I mean, I was just like, this is great. So,
and she loves to introduce herself as Mrs. Charlie Brown.
I love that.
I know.
I love that. See, I never knew that she had never introduced herself to me like that, you know, during our time that
yes.
we knew each other.
And she's certainly Lucy.
Yes, she is. She is a pistol. And so it was great to introduce the congressman to her and fill her in on all the times I'd talked to Marie and everything else. And of course, we had software where we entered in all of our chats with people, our emails,
oh
our telephone calls. And
365 a year from her.
And the congressman would look at those, and so she would be able to see a background on people that called and kind of what they cared about and everything else. And so we started doing a call of the week where we would select from each office somebody who'd reached out to us, and we'd have her turn around and call them. And, of course, she would get responses to, like, no, it's not. It's not my congressman. People thought that she was playing a joke on them. And so
now she just hangs up on people.
Yeah. And so it's funny how that all worked. But I just appreciate your mom. She's an incredible lady.
She is.
I learned a lot from her, and she would give me her opinion whether I wanted it or not.
She still does that to me, too.
I love that, because you'll always be 12, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
I get a little frustrated with that.
So you end up in Cookeville. How did you get involved in Impact Leadership? Because it's, you know, what, 5 years now, right? The anniversary's
right.
coming up.
But I've been here 11. So
right.
They had their first banquet when I was here, and I attended, and Dwight Henry
sure.
was my banquet buddy.
Okay.
And we went to that banquet together and left and said, this is a profound organization
mm-hmm.
in our community.
And you had to be involved. You said, I got to get involved.
Exactly. And I did. I participated, and they didn't really have too much community outreach at that early
sure.
stage.
Sure.
It was designed to honor African Americans in the community.
Sure.
So I was here hanging around, joined a couple of organizations. But one day, someone convinced me to go through a leadership program here in town, and mm-hmm. I did. And it was in transition. And so I wrote up an idea. Mm-hmm. Of leadership program with substance. And just so happened, I was having lunch with Quentin Cancel and Rob
yes.
Owens.
Yes, know them both.
And showed them the idea, because they said to me, how can we do more community outreach?
Sure.
I said, this is what this community needs, is a leadership program that focuses on diversity, because mm-hmm. it's not happening. And they decided that was kind of their mission, was to integrate the accomplishments of the African-American community into the Caucasian community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a difficult bridge. Now, I would often say in Chicago, it was a way of life. It wasn't even a discussion.
Sure.
But coming here, it was a discussion and a rub.
Mm-hmm.
And people often say, I'm not racist or I'm not biased,
mm-hmm.
but I know for a fact people can't know what their biases are until they're confronted with them.
Sure.
And when you have a 3% African-American community mm-hmm. and you only identify diversity as a race mm-hmm. issue, then of course you're never going to admit you're racist.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know how biased you are until you are really confronted with
mm-hmm.
it. So
our Hispanic population in the last demographic was larger than our African American population.
And growing faster.
Right, and growing faster. Absolutely.
Right. It is. So I gave them this outline and said, run with it.
Run with it.
And they called me up a couple weeks later and asked me to run with it.
They said, you came up with it. We want you to do it.
And I said, two conditions.
Yes.
It cannot be exclusively African American.
Sure.
Because there's not enough population to sustain it.
Right.
You have to be inclusive to be recognized.
Right. You got to grow the group.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. Sure.
And the second condition was that I get my own working board.
Mm-hmm.
I knew their board.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of in the glory of the African American Impact Group.
Sure.
And that's fine.
Right.
But I knew what I needed. And they said
to
yes.
To take it to that next level.
Right. They said yes. I got a foundation of my board. We are the most diverse board in Putnam County. And the founding board members are still board members.
That's great.
So I have the best board in the entire region.
That's fantastic. When we come back after the break, we're going to continue to talk about impact leadership here in Cookeville to motivate, lead, and empower. You're listening to The Chat here on News Talk 94.1. Welcome back to The Chat here on News Talk 94.1. I'm your host, Michael Detweiler. Today is my guest is Cindy Schumann. She is with Impact Leadership here in Cookeville. And Cindy, as we were going to the break, we were talking about you helping Impact realize how to grow the group. And so continue to tell us that story. And obviously, this is longer than an 8-minute segment. So we're going to tell the folks, hey, we're going to have a part two to this. And we're going to have you back so that we can continue to unpack all of this. So go.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because, you know, I'm a white girl from Chicago, and Morris Irby picked up on that real quick, took me to lunch one day and said,
yes.
I want to know why a white girl from Chicago is interested in helping a black organization. And I sat there for a minute. We were at Ruby Tuesday,
sure,
which is no
sure.
longer here.
I miss that salad bar. Boy,
yeah.
I miss that salad
yeah.
bar.
And I thought, well, I don't think it's important why I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really recognize it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to ask him a lot of questions about himself.
Mm-hmm.
And just learned more and more and more about the kind of the plight of black people in Cookeville.
Sure.
And he made a statement to me that he never knew that they were poor until their school burned down and they had to go to the white school.
Yeah. The Darwin School you're talking about that was in West Cookeville that burned in 1963.
Yeah. So he would have been about 13.
Yes.
And he said he never recognized what they didn't have until they went to the white school.
Sure.
And I thought, there is that social justice, that equal access. There mm-hmm. it is again and again and again.
And the culture shock for he and other students that they experienced.
Yes. And he, having been at Cummins,
mm-hmm.
a company in this community whose policies should be emulated by every other company in this mm-hmm. community.
They're a leading international company.
But leading in community involvement mm-hmm. and concern. They're my best customer, too.
Sure.
But not to just shout out one company, because so many of the companies that have contributed to Impact Leadership
mm-hmm.
understand what our focus and our mission is.
Mm-hmm.
But Morris Irby and Dr. Michael Torrance.
Yes.
And Dr. Bob Owens. And Mark Hutchins, and really the rest of the board in addition, but we created a curriculum based on Morris's 20 years plus in HR.
Yes.
He had developed the start of our diversity and inclusion program.
Mm-hmm.
And educators like Mark Hutchins and Michael Torrance and Rob Owens started to develop some of the educational aspects, our board training, our leadership skills.
Mm-hmm.
Mark and I are certified in the Gallup Poll Strengths Genius. Mark's also certified in Myers-Briggs.
Mm-hmm.
And we all collectively have awareness that self-awareness is a key component to being able to recognize other people's self identities.
Sure.
So we constructed a curriculum and then used a blueprint of community overview.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very beneficial. All my relationships with our elected officials at that time to have another leadership program come in and say, work with us.
Sure.
And everybody was very congenial about doing so. Almost everybody.
Sure. Sure. And I think in situations, it's hard to get 100% of the people on board, whatever the idea is. You might say, hey, I can bring Morton's Steakhouse to Cookeville, Tennessee, but not 100% of the people are going to like that.
Right.
You know? I mean, you're going to have naysayers. So in terms of you all overcoming this, and obviously in the few minutes we have left, folks, we will have a part two to this conversation because it's just so much to unpack and understand. And, you know, what the current state of impact is, what the program content is. Obviously, you've talked about the board and the formation of impact and the impact that impact is having on the community here. So, so where does it go from here? I guess would be one of my main questions. You know, I know Dr. Torrance is a past chair of the group.
Bharat Soni.
Yes, Bharat Soni, who is no longer in Cookeville.
No, he's in Birmingham.
Birmingham, I knew that.
He's happily retired.
Yes, yes, and got to know him very, very well during my years in government service. So where do you see, and again, this may not be something you can answer in 2 minutes, where, what's the next step for leadership, or for impact leadership?
We've just reached our 5-year milestone.
Wow.
And gathered our statistics.
Yes.
And I am super, I was overjoyed. I had no idea that in our 5 years, we have had 48% diversity
mm-hmm.
and 52% Caucasian in a community with 3% African American,
right.
What, 12 or 14% Hispanic.
Right.
Who largely don't speak English,
right.
Which is a hurdle for belonging to sure. impact leadership.
Sure.
And we've had 5% Eastern Indians attend.
Sure.
10% Hispanic.
Interesting.
And 32% African American.
So if somebody was listening right this second, we have 1 minute to go, and they said, I want to get involved. What's their next step?
Well, they can email me or call me.
Beautiful. So give us an email and a telephone number.
CSCHUEMAN.
Great.
At gmail.com. It's that German.
There
they
you
throw
go.
Everything in.
I hear you. Every vowel.
And
phone number.
Phone number, a cell number.
Yes.
630-890-4181.
4181. Folks, Cindy Schumann, Impact Leadership, we're going to have a part two coming up with this. So we're glad you listened today. Part two's coming up soon. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to The Chat here on News Talk 94.1.